brings you a week behind the visit like the ultimate beginner wear. Get the doctors up in the movie. Each weekly online game is by pushing partner. All of cheers for your signed up. At our website is
We're gonna program you are the author of and can someone in or is the book.
So we might whether they're just the person or it's the heart. What are these things? Come on, them into the real product. When you
know that
what if you write and we're programmed for this company for three products? And you count five, remind how to have it on this device.
Renew the meeting, the game written, who to see.
Clint's playing name develop all the way to talk pipes. We seem to know a few use, but it's where to find more. A little bit of this really would be more. It's not that it's you from
the
process, but where for some of the worked with other type of model, is outfitted with the device, whether be optical or magnetic, actually capture your real life movements and basically push that down into a set of computers and can be applied to an actual 3D model.
Wow. Must look like a puppet.
Exactly. And seriously, a lot of capture coming about now through a fighter and in Acclaim is doing a lot of motion capture and tech. Acclaim actually lent their studio to you to do motion capture, and that's something we found out. Now, what's the number? Do you right there in the book?
Okay, how about people who have been involved in game development for quite some time? What's in the book that's an advantage to that?
Actually, to like the third part of the book, where a lot of my background is that for newsletters and stuff, and watch game and community grow in the business, and I talk a lot about that. I also have a recruiting officer from Perella Braun and Martel, who's a top game industry lawyer, who wrote a whole section about venture capital financing, and actually a book at the time, his creation created a list of publishers with actual names.
That's his actual list he uses in this.
Right, exactly.
Oh, that's
outstanding. And a battle list.
Oh, whoa.
And he talks about these issues as well as contract issues between just you and the publisher. It's you and your putting together a game. You kind of need to put a contract in place between all of you so that should a dispute arise in the team, like how much money should the game be distributed to the artist or the musician.
Sure.
He actually related a story to me where developers of a very, very low product years ago did to things in dispute arose and it was a contract to solve it amongst developers. The entire team broke apart.
Wow.
Eventually, an incredible development occurred. And I obviously will not reveal the name.
That's really interesting. This is the actual list that he uses in business, and he's sharing it in your book.
Yeah, and I mean, from Dean's perspective, more the merrier. The more people out there, and that's really the push. The more people we can get out there, especially new people, and get them up to speed. That's what we want, because the more people are out there who have the knowledge to develop games, the more games we'll see, and hopefully, we'll see the next Garage creating games out of nowhere and pulls everybody away. Now, the book doesn't solve everything, and it doesn't cover everything. I wrote a book today and double the size of it. I was, especially in the mobile side, the Windows NT has been a big thing because we've seen a lot of new tools like Studio Max and now Softimage. Before when I was writing about the book, we were just hearing about the fact that we were going to move it to ND, but we didn't really know what that meant in terms of the points come down dramatically.
Sure.
Especially the direct stuff from Microsoft has grown so in the size of just what you're capable of doing. I mean, Fairplay Direct Draw were this basic company that we were able to talk about what they were and about them. But there's definitely been more. But the base portion of the book pitches on a lot of the stuff that's still very relevant, especially the business side, the design side. And
the
is books go wrong, you basically swamp the market. And hopefully, once you've gone through this, you'll have started to grow the tentacles of the types of information that you need.
Growing tentacles.
Yeah, you gotta start somewhere.
Sure.
We're sort of the West young man.
Yeah.
This book. So, take you down, throw you out there, and tell you to go west.
The majority of contacts in the book are still valid contacts for people to take hold of.
Certainly. Companies do not move around too much. Their websites stay the same. And, you know, the talk about what how the industry distributors, retailers, consumers, that's all definitely the same. And in terms of some of the information that they have, or in terms of partners to contact, well, maybe the name contacted on theirs, for all of her
role. Sure.
So you get a call and ask for Jim Smith, he's not there. Now it's being handled by, James. So
sure.
You'll get people. I mean, you'll find a source like that. I've been surprised at the number of people from the people who have met it, and from game developers at companies like MicroProse or who said that it was a really helpful book to you. And that's what we set out to do. And try to that. At the end of it, he said, well, I haven't really learned anything about making a game that's going to get people's input in a call. And that's what we want to do. I think, unlike a lot of other game books, which are good from the programming side, and can get you from, no knowledge about a programming game and take you a lot, a decent set of knowledge. Don't go that extra step to say, well, how do you actually get this out to the market so you all go to a store and your name on the box?
Okay, Ben Lloyd. Guest here on the Mark Shader Show. You're listening to the Mark Shader Show. We'll be back with more with Ben Sawyer, author of the Game Developer Sourcebook, right after this.
Don't go away. More from behind the scenes of the game development industry when the Mark Shader Show returns.
Try the talent feature that came with the software yet? This is a great piece for you to try with FreakingAI before we finish learning. It's Garden at garden.hvs.com. That's garden.hvs.com. The Garden is an award-winning bulletin board system with online games, shareware for you to try, that's along with the whole family. So head to the Rock Garden at garden.hvs.com.
Welcome back to the Mark Shader Show.
You're listening to the Mark Shader Show. Mark Shader, Ben Sawyer, is our guest, as the author of Game Developer Sourcebook. And Ben, how do we find out should be programming? I hate to say we, because technically, program guy, but what do people, or how do you make the decision what programming and an additional question. Should somebody use a library, or should they use a programming language, or how do most people handle that game?
Well, the book is really interesting, I think, in one aspect. We take a product development standpoint, which is language independent. And the reason we do that now is there are a lot of different ways to develop a game. And the way it really hard when you sit down and write your first game, your second game, for that matter, is to understand what comes out of the end that matters, what goes into the beginning.
It's not important in terms of what language you're using. If you're using C++, Visual Basic, if you're using a library like maybe a FAST for something, it makes no difference.
It does make a difference, definitely, for the engineering aspect. But take it from the development aspect. Take for example, for instance.
Okay.
Games from Sierra made a huge amount of money. I know that Gruber written our games this year and was making a decent amount of money off the shareware royalties. Now, if you're you could use Visual Basic. It's a great card. It would sell extremely well. Ian Firth is a VP developer who makes an incredible amount of money doing little VP games like Creepbox. That's because he sat down and said, this is a game to make. Here's a language that can help make that game. Visual Basic can make a card game probably much faster than, say, C, the same programmer's thought.
Okay.
Now, if you were to make Virtual Fighter, that's a different sort. you'd have to build like cutting-edge 3D graphic libraries, cutting-edge C++. But you don't make that decision first. You make the decision of what you want to see, then back from that, deciding what's the best engineering process to make the game. And there are things that can be succeed. A lot of programmers think the whole match game is how fast your code would be. It takes you 2 years to make the fastest computer code versus, you know, 1 year to use a library. My game's going to be on the market for a year.
That's a very good point.
These are the types of processes that a very mature development company will make. And so, when I say that doesn't matter, what matters is what the consumer is not a paper game and how you wrote it, or at least so far. But if you make the decision that you want to make cutting edge, real time, you know, war game, then you're going to have to make the engineering process what the consumer wants at the end. But if maybe you're content making a really neat card game, or a lot of great educated games are done in Lingo from Macromedia, which is also used to do Shockwave games. Some of the games are not being in Java.
Is that the
Yeah, exactly. I think that is the surfing map director. And so, if you were to go back and look at it, in fact, I believe the original version of Myth for Mac was done in director. Journey. Huge game was done in director first. So, when you're a developer, you want to match a number of different factors for creating your game.
Let me ask you this, I'm not sure if people consider this perspective when developing a game, but yeah, are the tools that they're using important or an integral part of whether or not they're going to publish a deal and how the publisher views the game, regardless of the final results?
Right, exactly. Well, that's just to most publishers in the industry today, they're actually saying what they want to see are Windows 95 DirectX capable games, and the one thing that are really looking for right now are MMS titles that manage in the new MMS technology. That's definitely, you can produce a game of that caliber, you can pretty much walk into a lot of publishers and open the door and say, here I am, there's no amount of work that might take, especially capital, to produce, really, especially for developers just starting out. But the fact that that's what's sweet spot in the market, that the type of product that everybody is really, you know, salivating or doesn't pay any attention to this huge other market that exists for a lot of different types of games. And if you're smart, you'll find a niche where you can make money. And for instance, a developed company I own, Yudon, down in New York, they make their game developers in a trillion games. And make one, I think, last of, right, they were making over $1 million a year doing this. You know, no checks, no C++. Now, on the other hand, you've got a company like it, which shows you to do it the opposite way, where they sat down and said, you know, no library, do it as fast as we can. Graphic library, that is.
Sure.
We need to have the cutting edge game, and they were extremely successful. I mean, it made millions and millions of dollars. There are two different ways. You're not going to have two ways in the same space. It's very hard. Look at the id clone that came out. The id sort of Doom type clones that came out. Only about two of them really did really well besides Doom. Do you know them? And then you had the software Dark Forces game, which was an incredibly well-crafted game, but also benefited from the Star Wars design. It's very hard from a developer standpoint to say, when it exists in a space that two or three other people have gone. So, to make those types of games. Even if they have the money and the knowledge, there's really market questions should they do that. So, instead they turn and listen. If you're a really creative developer, that's the thing. That's the type thinking you're getting, and there's definitely a lot of that type of process into the book. And I think when you read it, you'll come away with that same perspective.
tell us a little bit about, a little more about what's in the book that's of value to someone who maybe isn't in the industry yet and has seen how basically designing a game can really not only make you a lot of money, but can provide a lot of satisfaction and an artistic piece, if you want, for a lot of the creative juices you have flowing in you.
I think in the design section we talk a little bit about, I think also you'll find in the book, I land emotionally to the product, which is my enthusiasm for this incredible engine, the whole storytelling aspect that takes on, you know, just the watching the you've worked on come to life. There are a lot of things that you can gain just writing a game that nobody even ever sees. A lot of the personal burden that nobody ever sees. There's little adventure games that I don't show a friend or something like that.
Cool.
A lot of the times they have to be done. You know, that's part of it. And we only spend a number of pages talking about tools you can get for free. And a lot of can add for next to nothing.
Can you really do the whole game from start to finish? Things that you acquired without the money?
Yes.
Absolutely.
It can be done.
Really?
One of the things to actually talk about who did spend a lot of money was a friend who put together a section on how he was doing quality digital video for games with a setup costing less than $8. A regular high-end camera, painted his own blue screen. He was creating a virtual set.
Uh-huh.
Which is not like a program in 3D market. And things are really resulting in book from his game. He definitely looked at the large run for their money. And
people do games using entire free software programs or studies. Have they ever signed a publishing deal?
I'm not sure about that. There are actually have been stories. There was a game called The Flipside that Atari put up for the Jaguar that was created by a college student in Florida. And he made this game that cost less than $25,000 for making the game. And I don't think he spent much money on doing it. There are things like Nudie compiler, download versions of Java compilers, and
sure.
Run fairly quickly.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting being cheap.
I don't think you can take an excuse of having a multi-million budget to create a great game.
That's a good point. And also, you gotta start somewhere. Most people who are starting out have very little money to invest in development tools. So, if there's a place that people can go or a resource they can use to get involved in to get their hands on some things that will allow them, you know, maybe a lot more work than that would be required with a commercial software package, be competitive. You know, that would be great. That'd be great to know where
it is. It can be done. I think one of the other things that the book takes from perspective on is a number of programmers at game companies are essentially well-rounded computer science students that come out with really good programming background from schools. And they will be interviewed and assigned to game companies basically without having really done a whole lot in terms of making their own game. A really sweet graphical that showed off their 3D programming ability, or maybe a really short, simple game that showed their ability to survive, which is a game of or game the portion of the book that kind of helps them in some way from a free perspective is there's a lot of information that you can get from a company about the product set or their trade show. If you only have $700 for me, you can go to like the key game developer conference and build up knowledge so that if you, when you finally get some skills, get in front of a human resources department for a company like conference, and say, you know, have you worked with the Maj if you're an artist? You should say, well, I went to the show and I called stuff the Maj and I got a video tape and I got all these books about it. And I haven't had the chance to go out and buy my own $20,000 software Maj workstation, but I know what it is, I'm familiar enough with it, and I can impress upon you my ability put me in front of that machine, I'm gonna quickly do it and understand exactly where I'm going. So there are things you can do for free for yourself to build knowledge to get into the industry.
You're listening to the Mark Chandler, my Chandler, and the author of the Game Developers Sourcebook. Game Developers Sourcebook is published by Coriolis Group. And Ben, how do we get a hold of the book?
Okay, there's basically, you should be able to find it in like a large bookstore, Barnes and Noble, Borders. But again, the book did come out at the beginning of 1996. The market's it may sell out in the order or whatever. Coriolis is a really good direct order line. You can call them at 100-410-012. And you can go to http://www.coriolis.com and the book. And
how do you spell Coriolis?
Coriolis.com. You can actually order the book online.
Okay, that's
Coriolis.
Okay.
And you can actually order the book direct from them, and I will actually go out and call the public today and see if we can put together a special if you order the book direct from Coriolis and you mention that there's...
Oh, that'd be great.
And I'll get back to you today.
Okay, great. Ben, how do people get a hold of you via email if they have any questions for you? Would you be receptive to answering questions regarding game development?
Sure. In fact, the number of companies that I actually... companies that I've actually worked, started doing some work with, have actually contacted me through email because they wrote the book and they were interested more, and should be some of your published companies. I had long emailed that book, especially we're hoping that a year or so put together a whole redraft of the book and hear from people with ideas, and I'd love to see the things I'd love to see from people who have gotten out their own C compiler and downloaded the libraries and maybe put together some cases. And it's great to see that, and I definitely respond to it. The easiest way is for me to email me at Sawyer, SAWYER@worldnet.ac.net.
Okay.
And one other thing you can do is you can also find me now as a contributing editor to Game Developer Magazine. We are series of stories of how games were made. Interviewing developers about games like The Neighborhood or Ultima Online and talking to them about the game, how much you worked on the game, what were the types of design problems that you had or that you solved, and where you came to the game from a market perspective. As well, so
where do we find where do we find Game Developer Magazine?
You can find Game Developer Magazine on your large newsstand and a store that carries lots of game magazines like Barnes and Noble or Borders.
If you find your book,
and it's a whole retail market of Game Developer.
Great.
But you can also find Game Developer Magazine on the web at http://www.gdmag.com. In fact, they're actually running a article up there. You can online only article magazine you can purchase, and it's filled with the hottest talks of the whole online game development scene, also development aspects of that. We have our own there about technology and impact on the hot gaming and Dave Greeley wrote a story about the matter of all many people are predicting in the industry to be probably the number one online game coming out this year, and will probably actually be with really being made by online games. So
that will have to look forward to. And you're going to be a good resource for more guests for the show. Ben. Thanks very much for being part of the show.
Next week for another look behind the scenes of Game Development Booster on Mark Chandler.
You've been listening to the Mark Chandler Show. The Mark Chandler Show brought to you by Rock Garden on Service. It's a rock produced tell feature for internet software and connect to garden.hbs.com. Happy and feeding mellow the guys behind Radiac and Blockbusters, new 3D. Shadow Warrior and Prey. Visit 3D Realms on the web at www.3drealm.com. The Half Puppy Games on the Internet. Visit Half Puppy at http://halfpuppy.com. The hottest game demos on the Internet. CompuServe and Game Ice.
Weekly, the premier online magazine. Find out what's happening in the game industry. Tweet, read game slice, on CompuServe, go game slice, or visit game slice on the web at www.gameslice.com. Ionos Incorporated, software development and publishing partners. Ionos, the first game publisher for all its games, has completely shared profit. Is he the hottest game to hear to your software? Find out all the new games from Ionos, www.ionos.com and forum.com. You're hearing folks right now. Professional voiceover and operating for the internet for broadcast and professionals. Check our website at forum.com. Get in touch with Mark Shander. At shander.com. You can always find the latest edition of the Mark Shander Show on the web at www.shander.com. Tune in next week for another behind-the-scenes look at the game development industry on the Mark Shander Show. Mark Shander Show is copyright 1987 by Mark Shander. All rights reserved.